Yes, sir. Sedato LZ with you here. Mama Momo hanging out on a Wednesday talking Lakers Blazers. Los Lakers down 1-0, which is not ideal. But I don't think anyone needs to panic just yet. We just kind of relax. We will dive further into the conversation with you at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We also got someone calling out LeBron, which we'll get to in the next segment. But again, LeBron, I think LeBron needs to stop one particular thing. So LZ, Momo, he's been talking a lot lately, right, about the lack of fans at the bubble, right? And it feels like, and it was brought up again yesterday, now not by him, by a reporter, to give it proper due and proper credit. But he has talked about it a lot. And he continues to answer the questions about it doesn't feel the same and this, that, and the other, but we got to execute, blah, blah, blah. But it feels like he brings it up so much, prior to yesterday, he's brought it up a lot, that I almost feel like it's like he's developing a bit of a crutch. Not that he necessarily needs a crutch, because no matter what happens if they lose, he's going to get blamed a lot for it anyway, even if he's tremendous. But it does feel like for him, if I were consulting LeBron, right, if I were part of Team LeBron, I would say, yo, stop talking about that. Like, just stop. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to hear that. Damian Lillard's out there balling. You know, Donovan Mitchell's out there getting 57 points. Mm-hmm. Like, you just had you just did something that nobody in the history of the sport has done in a playoff game. Like, I know that it doesn't feel right, but you need to figure that out. The best that have ever done this, including him, have found ways to motivate themselves. He generally uses the fans and the energy mm-hmm. to do that, and he's going to have to find a way to do that. Like, I think that, you know, and LZ, I'll start with you. Like, I just don't want to hear that at this point. I don't think anybody does, to be frank with you.
Well, I think if you guys remember, he was like one of the first voices in sports, period, to immediately say, I don't want to play unless there's fans there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he quickly had to recant. So this Correct. Has been a theme of his, like, what, late February, early March? Like, so he's been talking about fans and the presence of fans for a while. Though I'm not quite sure if he's just talking to be riffing, because, you know, sometimes people would do that, as opposed to expressing something that's a real issue for them. You know, case in point, it really bothers me that Rihanna has more number one singles than Beyonce.
But it doesn't bother me to the point.
But it doesn't bother me to the point in which, you know, like, I'm not going to listen to Rihanna mm-hmm. or that I'm going to, like, buy more Beyonce. It's just a thing. You know, it's like, this is weird to me. But it's not enough to actually derail anything. And so I just feel as if LeBron is just, he's just riffing. He's just expressing himself. And it's not revealing anything about him or his approach as much as he's making this observation about how weird it is. Because honestly, he probably hasn't played in an empty gym, like a real game in an empty gym, like in decades.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. Now, Momo, before I get to you, we all know this guy named Keyshawn Johnson, right? We know that guy. Yeah, that guy. Remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, remember that guy?
I mean, you spent a lot of mornings with him.
He had something to say about this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, which you can catch each and every weekday morning right here on this very station from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Here's what Keyshawn said when asked if he thought LeBron was making excuses with this lack of fan narrative that's being pushed out there. Go ahead, play the cut.
I don't think Z and J, that's really an excuse. I think he's explaining how he felt inside the bubble during the playoffs. I don't think he's saying it's an excuse. He's just letting you know that it feels different. I've got to kick it into high gear. So probably I'm thinking, based on how I would be and knowing Kobe and Michael and knowing LeBron a little bit, that game two is going to be different, because now I got a feel for what is getting ready to happen. Now I know that Portland's not messing around, that they're hitting on all cylinders, and now I got to get the rest of my teammates to get on board with me. That's the way I look at it.
Momo, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, look, sometimes I feel bad for LeBron sometimes, because everything he says is a thing. Like, I went through a stage where I'd be on the radio and I was afraid that everything I said was going to get aggregated and turned into some headline or on some blog or on some Twitter thing. And like, it makes you like think through every single thing you say. And sometimes you even don't want to say things that you believe or that you know, because you're afraid you're going to get aggregated and someone's going to make it, it's going to turn into something. So like, I have empathy for LeBron because he probably is just trying to be honest with himself and the way he feels, but because he keeps saying it, it's a thing, right? Anytime he says anything the man says is a thing. And his teammates read it. We all read it. We all hear it. And I think it's like one of those spots where you get into as a competitor. And I guess I just, you know, look, I played a non-revenue sport in college. I'm pretty used to playing with no fans. Okay, let's be real. All right. Like we were playing, it would mostly be like my mom. Or my dad was in the stands. You know, occasionally we would get some like young girls from nearby Menlo Park would come watch us play. But it's like not that big a deal, right? And so you get used to it. If anything, playing with fans was like a huge adjustment when we made it to Oklahoma City for the World Series. And it was like, oh wow, there's lots of fans here. Man, I was like, this is tripping me out. Okay. Like it took a minute to adjust that way. But like that doesn't matter. If, when you're locked into that game, when you know how much is on the line, you don't care about like the fans. You get over that real fast. And I remember I got down to this point like with whether we're talking about it's hot and humid here, the fans are loud, I can't focus because they're so. I mean, I would always play outfield, so I used to get the fraternity guys would sit in the stands behind me and catcall me the whole time. So like I like it's and because there's nobody else there, like you really can hear them. Right, it was like very hard to pay attention, and I just you, as a competitor, you learn real early on. Like that can't be the reason you lose. Like if we come away from this experience, and all I'm doing is telling you about the frat boys at Oklahoma State who were saying mean things to me in right field, and that's the reason why I wasn't focused or I dropped the ball. Like I suck. That's on me. It's on me
What did they say? What did they say to you, Mom?
Well, let's put it this way. They were behind me, so they my butt was facing them. Yeah.
It is Booty Wednesday.
It was Booty Day, and it was like – I mean, it was like Booty Afternoon, right? Because they were there for the whole game. And I like to – you know, when you're in outfield, you kind of have to stay engaged. So, like, I'm always hopping around out there, and I was, like, you know, walking back. I mean, so it was like I was – you know, there was a lot of talk and a lot going on. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow, I think the pitch is pretty clear, people. Pretty clear. That woman was sexually like harassed. You were sexually harassed in the field.
And it was like a warm afternoon, and the frat boys from Oklahoma State were just, you know, they had a cooler and some lawn chairs. I mean, I don't know, I'm painting the picture. You can
actually,
picture it
happening. Actually, you kind of make me want to go to Oklahoma State now. That sounds kind of fun. I could just sit there and check out people and drink and, you know, not get in trouble.
I mean, that's what people used to love about spring training. Okay. You go to spring training and those ballparks were like, you know, you like when you heckle people from the stands, they would hear you, you know, like if you were like, Doc Peterson, you bum. Like if you would say that, like Jock would hear you. Like he's you're like right in the stands there.
Yeah.
Now the ballparks are totally different. They've like changed it up and it's like a real major league stadium again. Like you can yell as loud as you want, they're not gonna hear you. But that was the brilliance of spring training, and like guys had to learn how to get over that. But I learned how to block it out. I mean, there would be times I would like turn around and I would wave, or I would turn around, and I would say something. But like the best answer you can give for hecklers or for any of that is just like, you're not going to be the reason I lose. Like, I'm not going to be talking about you on the radio 20 years from now, which I guess I am. But but like those were the worst. Actually, the worst hecklers ever, they were the old people in Arizona. The old people in Arizona were so mean.
Girl, they still are. I live in Arizona half the time, and they still mean.
Yeah. All the retirees. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh. Every time. If you struck out, you heard about it for 3 innings afterwards. Oh.
That's too funny. Hey, so what we're going to do is I want to take some calls here at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. A lot of people want to chime in on the loss yesterday, what needs to happen, what changes need to be made. I want to get into Frank Vogel in a little bit as well.
But there is someone who has called out the Lakers and LeBron, an old nemesis. Okay, and we're gonna have that
I
for
have
you.
I have an idea about this, George.
Yeah. We're an old nemesis. We'll call him. All right. So here's the deal.
Before you even say this.
An old nemesis has arisen here today, and he was on First Take. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And this old nemesis was on with Max Kellerman, who you can hear on this very station every weekday at 11 a.m. and with Stephen A. Smith. Okay, the OG of ESPN, and his name is Paul Pierce.
Oh, God.
And
we're playing
Paul Pierce.
No,
oh,
George,
I thought you were going to go with Charles Barkley. Okay.
No,
all right.
No, George.
Paul Pierce.
Go with Paul.
We'll get to Barkley. We'll get to Barkley. Paul Pierce has called out not only the Lakers, but LeBron. Here's what Paul Pierce had to say.
If they don't win this year, LeBron's not getting any younger. This is going to be a big hit on his legacy. And I've already said, he's not a top five player of all time. If the Lakers don't win a championship, let alone losing the first round, I don't want to hear none of this GOAT talk no more.
So, I mean, him and LeBron don't like each other. Kendrick Perkins was on this when I was doing the midday show, and told the story that those two don't like each other going back to a preseason game in LeBron's rookie season where Paul was jawing at LeBron and then spit at the bench, okay, while LeBron was on the bench. And since then, there's been all sorts of beef. So we know that to be the case, that the jury pool is a bit contaminated. But I will say this. For, the messenger aside, LZ Granderson, if they do lose in the first round, the takes are going to be fire, okay? Like, it is going to be like being in the seventh level of hell. They can ill afford, and you have – now, we think they're going to win, but you have been a big proponent, understandably so, that this group should be taken seriously. So if they are to be taken seriously and the Lakers, for some reason, find a way to lose this series, as crazy as what Paul said, I don't think it's as wild to think that people are going to be wilding out saying all sorts of stuff about LeBron and the Lakers, including what's next for AD, because he is going into a free agency season.
Listen, those are two different conversations, right? There's the fake hot takes, and I call them fake hot takes because they're more personal than factual. And then you have the conversation about the fallout. So which direction do you want me to go first? Because I'm prepared to talk about both.
I like fake hot takes.
Yeah, go me fake hot takes. We like fake hot takes.
All right, so let's go with the fake hot take. Paul Pierce, who I like, I'm not going to act like I don't like Paul Pierce. I like Paul Pierce a lot. I used to call myself the truth occasionally. Borrowed his little thing at the YMCA. So okay. I'm down with PP.
I call game.
But this dude on April 2nd, 2019, on the jump said LeBron was in his top five. Now, if April 2nd, 2019 is when the Lakers clearly aren't going to be in the playoffs, and he still had LeBron James in his top five, then I need to understand what has changed. Because since April 2nd, 2019, what's happened is he's helped elevate the Lakers to a number one seed. He had a career year, the first year he's ever averaged a double-double, led the league in assists, and he had not a great shooting night, but still a historic 2015 and 15 postseason performance. And now Paul is telling us he's out of the top five. So a year ago, April 2nd, 2019, when the Lakers weren't in the playoffs, he was in his top five, and now he's not. This is the reason why I call them fake hot takes, because they aren't consistent even with your own logic. Now, everyone knows LeBron James is a top five player. Everyone knows that. You can go back and forth about how you feel about, what he does and how he goes about it and call himself king. We can have that discussion. But no one who's sitting in the top 10 in points and assists, no one who's been in the finals this many times should be considered a bum if they lose to a team that very well could have been in the Western Conference Finals, if not representing the finals, if they were healthy to begin with. This isn't losing to Denver Nuggets. This isn't losing to, this isn't Orlando Magic versus the Bucks. This is really a very good team that just happened to be in the first round. But You shouldn't be shocked if they beat the Lakers. You shouldn't be shocked if they beat the Clippers. Why? Because they were in the Western Conference final just a year ago.
Momo?
Look, I actually think he's right in that when LeBron wins, it's because of LeBron. And when LeBron loses, it's because of everybody else, right? Like, that's the deal you make playing with LeBron. Like, if you win, LeBron will probably get all the credit. And if you lose, then it's your fault, Kevin Love.
Right.
It's your fault, Kyrie, right? It's your fault, Anthony Davis. We were already doing it. But on some level, that has not been the standard for every other greatest player of all time. When Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant were talking, Kobe was a young guy in this league, and he used to talk to Michael a lot, which we found out, you know, I'd never realized how close they were until Michael's eulogy and some of the, and then obviously our subsequent reporting on it, we kind of unearthed like, wow, they really were close and they really did talk. And Michael's advice to Kobe was, don't ever hold back on saying what you need to say, because if you lose, and it's going to be on you. If you lose, nobody's going to say, oh, it's because this guy couldn't make a shot, or they should have made this trade, or because the Portland Trailblazers are a really good 8 seed. They're going to say it's because you didn't get it done. And I think that is the threshold that players who are in the conversation of greatest of all time have to be in. They have to have that mentality. And to me, like for LeBron in this season, that for him to win it would be, I would say it would be his second biggest accomplishment of all time.
Yeah, behind the 2016. Yes, yeah, I agree.
That is
yes.
Number one. Bringing a championship to Cleveland is number one. It's almost like no matter what he does next.
Yeah.
But if he were to win this year, I think it's his second greatest accomplishment. And it's going to be really hard. It's going to fall at his feet. And I think if you're in that discussion, like if you have to win this. You just do. Like if you want to be in, that's the threshold we use for players that we put in that GOAT conversation.
Yeah, I do think that there is going to be something to that. I think that there will be. Paul Pierce is not the only person who's going to knock him if he loses in the first round. You know what I'm saying?
Then what are we doing with Jordan, then, George?
No,
who lost in the first round multiple times before he even made it into a conference final.
LZ, I'm not arguing against you. What I'm saying is we can't – it is such a subjective thing that people are going to feel that way. And you can't get mad about it if you want, but that's just the reality of what's going to happen is what we're saying.
I don't mind having substantive conversations about where someone ranks in the hierarchy of their sport. I don't. But what I don't like trying to do is have that discussion with a moving goalpost. So getting eliminated in the first round didn't eliminate the greats who were great before they were great. Then why is LeBron being eliminated? Because he finally did something that everyone from Kareem as well as Jordan did years ago, which is losing the first round.
I agree with you.
If he's garbage, George and Romo and Momo, if he's garbage, then by all means, let him have it. But a year ago, we saw that man drop 50 on the Golden State Warriors and lose.
And J.R. Smith was
2 years ago.
Two years ago and lose. And people still found reasons to trash him. So my point is that I think for LeBron, for a variety of reasons, no matter what he does, it's going to be criticized, second-guessed, and downplayed. And I just want to make one more point before I hang it over to you, George. And that is, I don't believe LeBron James' greatest accomplishment was 2016 championship. I believe his greatest accomplishment was the decision. Because it changed the entire landscape of the NBA.
I think if we're looking beyond just – I think what Ramon and I were referring to were the championships, not necessarily like his entire career. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we could – there are plenty of things that we could talk about that he's done in his career, including the school in Akron and all that stuff. But from ranking the championships, I think the 2016 one is always going to be the top one.
Man – I really did think that you were going to play the Charles Barkley sound, though. I really thought.
That for you still, too, though. Don't worry. I got a lot of tricks in the bag, Momo. This is a long show. Okay.
Like Charles last night. I mean, right. Come on.
And by the way, Charles was crazy. He was wild enough. Listen, we got to go to break because I apologize. We did not get to any calls. We talk way too much. Okay. So we're going to shut up a little bit. We're going to be a little more word efficient, and we're going to try to get you in here because I know you guys want to react, and I apologize that we have put you on hold for so long. 877-710-ESPN. We will do that. I also want to kind of dissect some of Frank Vogel's stuff. I don't think he escapes criticism here after game one. We'll do some of that as well. And blasphemy. in the Matrix series. We'll get to that also coming up in just a second. Happy birthday, Fat Joe. 50 years old.
Is he really?
50. 50 is the new 40.
Oh, my gosh.
Then. Yeah.
Then what am I? Never mind. Never mind. I'm all right. I don't need you to answer that question.
Sedano, I'll see with you here. Mama Momo hanging out with us as she will every single Wednesday. And obviously a lot of people want to chime in. We want to get to the calls at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776, and react to the Blazers taking game one of the first round of the NBA playoffs. The first Laker playoff game in 7 years did not go so well. But real quick, speaking of not going so well, how does The Matrix get a potential fourth movie and no Lawrence Fishburne? How does that happen, LZ Granderson?
Well, I will say this, and I say this with love. All right, this is important. L-U-V, love. All right. The last time I talked to Lawrence Fishburne, I couldn't help but notice he had put on some pounds. And it's going to be really hard to convince me that you can beat up an agent looking the way he was the last time I saw him. So I think instead of them trying to force us into this delusion, they just say, you know what? Let's just reboot, pretend he retired in Zion, and just get something else in.
Just get yourself a new Morpheus.
Mm.
Or maybe just find a different Morpheus, right? Like, you just go younger.
Yeah, I mean, you have to write that younger into the story. You have to write that in.
Like, yeah, more, do a new story. Yeah, go backwards. You know, everybody else does that.
Yeah.
Prequel.
Like the beginning of the Matrix itself.
Yeah, young Morpheus. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because listen, because the truth be told, Keanu Reeves, you know, he is not as big as Lawrence Fishburne as when I saw Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, man. But have you seen these pictures of him with Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure coming out?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was like, well, come on, dog. He really going to save the world? Come on, man. Like, the only thing that makes me more angry than seeing a fat guy beat up everybody is seeing a really, really, really skinny guy or skinny woman beat up everybody. Like those things, it's like going, you might be able to get past the security guard at the elevator level, but come on, man. You beat up everybody on the fourth floor, too, to get to the guy? Come on, man.
All right, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Let's go to Armando in Granada Hills. What's up, Armando? Thank you, buddy. Can you lower your radio?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
George, I like your show. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank
I want to tell all those people, and I want you to confirm something. If Kobe was alive and playing that game yesterday, the Lakers would have never lost that game. Okay?
Come on, and LeBron, man. Don't do that.
LeBron,
don't
comment do that he made a couple of days ago that they were not in playoff mode. And playoff mood, Kobe will never say that. Never say that. All of you guys need to get off LeBron's back. I don't like LeBron.
Come on, man.
I don't like
come
LeBron,
on,
and
dog.
That's why I'm rooting for the Warriors.
Why?
I told my sons, we will never root for that guy. So now you ask me, now I'm asking you a question. Can you answer me that question?
Well, here, I will answer
what, hold on,
you.
What is your question? I want to know what your specific question is. Do I think Kobe would have won that game yesterday?
Yeah, because I an hour ago, I heard a caller say that, oh, that he compared LeBron to Kobe. And no, he's wrong. And all of you guys are wrong who compared LeBron to Kobe. No, Kobe's a killer. That's why he was named the Black
Mamba. Look, here's what I would
question.
Say.
If Kobe was playing that game yesterday, last night, you think they would have lost that game?
Armando, I honestly, look, I think that they're just two different guys, okay? Let's start with that. And thank you for the call. They're just two different people, and that's fine, by the way. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that LeBron, in general, LZ and Ramona, you could tell me if I'm wrong about this. I feel like LeBron is more analytical, less emotional in-game. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I guess I would go there. Kobe's, I don't know if I would say he's not more analytical. Kobe's super analytical.
No, but I'm saying in-game.
In-game, yeah, super analytical, but he's more emotional. Kobe was definitely more emotional.
Correct.
Yeah.
It just makes me scratch, pull my hair out. People want to act as if, you know, like LeBron is the reason why he gets all the media attention that he has.
Mm-hmm.
This kid was an outstanding athlete and basketball player at 14, 15 years old. And Sports Illustrated made the choice to fly in, do a story on him, and feature him on a cover. He didn't demand that they do that, just like he didn't demand all the energy around his free agency. He didn't ask President Obama to get involved and try to lobby for him to come to Chicago. He didn't lobby for New York to try to woo him. We did that. And now we're mad because we gave him all that attention. It's like being mad at the Kardashians. Yeah, their ass is on Instagram. That's true. But they didn't demand that you follow them. So I'm just sitting here and I'm like going, would Kobe have lost that game yesterday? I don't know. Would they have been in that game if Kobe was playing and not LeBron? Would Kobe have had 17 assists and 16 rebounds? I don't know. Mm. All I know is that Anthony Davis needed to get his big ass in the paint and dunk on some people. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I don't think that blaming
Kobe Bryant. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I just don't think we should be blaming LeBron about yesterday. Like, I don't think LeBron did anything to lose that game yesterday. Yeah.
No, other than miss those free throws and take a ridiculously long three at an inopportune time, I didn't really have much to say about his performance. He didn't shoot the ball that great, but we all know that stretch when he decided to go full LeBron point guard, and there was three straight ridiculous passes that got them the lead after he had an incredible spin move for a layup, and you were like, oh, yeah, he's that dude.
Mm. Let me go to Terry in the LBC real quick. Terry, what's up?
Yes, hi.
Hello.
Yes. Really quick. Paul Pierce, who cares what a Boston Celtic has to say about anything related to the Lakers? Okay. One of your previous callers brought up the Avery Bradley thing. When Avery Bradley opted out because of the COVID virus, I hung my head and I said, this is huge. This is really, really huge. He was a very important part of why the Lakers were such a great defensive team. He is being sorely missed. They're going against arguably the best backcourt in the league. Finally, those four straight free throws that I think AD and LeBron missed in crunch time, that can't be happening. That just cannot be happening. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. I mean, look, they did kind of throw up on themselves a little bit at the end of that game. And you know what? Let's attack this on the other side because it kind of leads into what I wanted to talk about anyway, which is we kind of have not discussed Frank Vogel a little bit. And I feel like there was some critical mistakes made by him in that fourth quarter yesterday. So let's get to that, plus what you need to know. It's Sedano and LZ, Mama Momo hanging out. We'll take more of your calls at 877-710-ESPN. We are back in 2.5 minutes. Sedano and LZ with you here. Mama Momo hanging out on a Wednesday. It's time for What You Need to Know. The Dodgers' first pitch is coming up in about 45 minutes or so. They've won 7 straight. They have been fantastic. They have been the best team in baseball, to no surprise. There are so many things about the Dodgers to love right now. We had the Seager brother battle in Seattle. Both guys have had good series to this point, 4-for-8. Cordy with 4 RBIs, Kyle with 2 RBIs. Momo, we'll start with you. What has been your favorite part of the Dodgers' start thus far?
I think Mookie. Like, I was excited about him when they started. We haven't really gotten a feel for him personality-wise because there's no fans and you can't interact with him and there's a bunch of Zoom calls. But, you know, they said he was going to be a great leader, and he has been. And I think that, you know, his on the field performance is from what I hear, the same level of intensity and preparation that Clayton Kershaw used to have. And I think the Dodgers haven't had that in a long time.
LZ, what has been your favorite part of the Dodgers start?
Kenley. Ooh. I can't tell you how much peace I have.
Uh-oh. I think we lost LZ.
What happened to you?
Yeah, he turned into a transformer. All right, we'll get back to...
I'll finish his thought. Kenley's been great. He had the Rona. He came back, and he's been... And I was worried about him not being able to have the same kind of intensity in the ninth inning with no fans, and you play the Californication, but then, you know, is he still able to bring, because he has historically not been as good in anything other than the ninth inning with a lot of fans screaming and the adrenaline going, and he's been great.
Yeah, he has been fantastic. LZ, I think Momo finished your thought, but you can quickly finish your Kenley thought if you can.
No, it's Momo. I'm sure Momo's thoughts are smarter than mine. I threw the name out there, then I wanted to walk away anyway.
Okay, fair enough. Next thing, about the Dodgers. We all know our buddy Joe Kelly, who we'll probably build a statue for at some point here in Los Angeles. He's getting some support, and apparently it's not just from the Dodger clubhouse. Greg Bergman, who is he getting support from?
Okay,
I got it. Trevor Bauer.
Way to fumble your one opportunity. Hence why you haven't been on today, all right?
Typical.
Way to fumble.
It's Laura's fault. I'm blaming Laura.
You what? Got two jobs, just two jobs.
I mean, for the love of God. Trevor Bauer, go ahead, Momo, if you want to tell the story.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer wanted to wear some cleats that said, "Free Joe Kelly." And Trevor Bauer now pitches for the Cincinnati Reds, has obviously been a pretty outspoken critic of the Astros.
Right.
He's pretty outspoken on everything. He says whatever's on his mind.
Yes.
And wanted to wear them, but Major League Baseball told him that he would be suspended if he walked out with those Free Joe Kelly cleats.
I mean, for the love of God, LZ, isn't that a bit aggressive? Suspended? Find one thing. Suspended, LZ?
Isn't this baseball, George?
Yes, it
baseball
is.
Does stupid things. Joe Kelly got kicked out. He never hit anybody with his fist or his ball. So he talked to me about that.
Yeah, that is true, I guess.
So it's baseball.
That is a great point.
We need to work on this. So you remember the NFL used to be the no fun league? Now it's baseball,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
We need an acronym for that.
It's always been baseball. It's just that baseball has such poor marketing, we didn't bother giving this acronym a nickname.
Yeah. By the way, my favorite part of the Dodgers season is Mookie, but in a different way. It's the leadership role that he's taken. Austin Barnes is on a 7-game hitting streak, and he has been fantastic in his time that he is in the games that he has played. And the word is that Mookie Betts has been working with Austin on the side and helping him with his hitting. So Mookie taking on a big leadership role on top of, obviously, the great play, to me, is what stands out to me with the Dodgers. And I'm all in on Free Joe Kelly. I have argued for Joe Kelly. I'm glad that Joe Kelly did what he did. I think baseball really screwed Joe Kelly, and I'm glad that his suspension was reduced. That is what you need to know. All right, let's get back into what we were just discussing. So we're talking about the Lakers, and I know people want to weigh in, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. So Frank Vogel, right, one of the last caller who was on was talking about some of the issues in the fourth quarter, right? Missing free throws, this, that, and the other. LeBron and AD missed four straight free throws. LeBron addressed that in the post game. LeBron actually, to his credit, did say, look, I've had some of those happen to me in the past where I've missed two. He's like, but for AD, that's very strange. He's such a great free throw shooter. Here's the one thing that I don't think gets discussed enough about the fourth quarter was that when the Lakers were building their lead, they played with Caruso and Kuz on the floor. And they kind of they basically went from, I believe, two or three buckets down to three buckets up. They were up 6 points. And then instead of riding the hot hand, which is weird because Vogel has done this so much so during the regular season pre-pandemic that he would even ride the hot hand from half to half. Like if a guy was playing well in the first half, he'd insert him as a starter. We saw Caruso do that a couple of times during the regular season. But strangely enough, he did not ride the hot hand. He went back to KCP and Danny Green. And I think it ended up costing him. Now, granted, that is hindsight being 2020, LZ, and we'll get Momo's thoughts here in a second. But I feel like Frank maybe kind of outsmarted himself a little there.
Well, I kind of point more. I mean, I hear what you're saying with, subbing out a hot group of guys that got you in the game, got you the lead, and it felt like you could have ridden that for a while. I agree with that part of it. But my real questions with Frank have to do with, why in the hell did we bring in Deion Waiters and JR to begin with? It's like they're not ornaments. You can treat them like found money if they're hot, or you can treat them like disposable bodies if they're not. But you're not going to get an opportunity to decide which way to do it if they don't play. And after a while, and we've seen Pop do it, we've seen Phil Jackson do it, We've seen Phil Jackson or Chuck Daly do it. We've seen Riley do it. We've seen all the great coaches do this, which is, especially in the postseason, if things aren't going as planned, then you try a new plan. You throw in Judd Buechler and see what happens. You set all the starters down when they get behind 15 in the first quarter and tell them all they're playing like crap, and until the bench guys come in and you chew away at that lead a little bit. You shake it up. And in the postseason, that's where coaches really make the difference. Regular season, yes, to me, is about making sure personalities can make it to the end of the regular season. The postseason is about adjustments.
So, I mean, I'm with you there, but I also think there is something to be said for loyalty, and we are one game into this. So, defensively, the Lakers are going to be better against Dame and CJ with KCP and Danny Green, okay? There's no way Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith are better defensively than either of those two players. Caruso Agreed. Might be, but Caruso might be able to be in the same category, but he's already in the rotation, so he's playing. I think you give them one game, you let them stay out there, you let them get rolling, because both of those guys, and I would say Danny Green more than KCP, have the ability, and this is a term I'm going to steal from Eric Spoelstra, but they have that ignite ability. They have that ability to catch fire, hit four in a row, turn a 2-point game into a 12-point game. Like they have that ability, especially Danny, and they need to get them going. And so there's a fine line between giving guys who have brought you to this place all year. KCP was probably the Lakers' third best player this year. It should have been Kuz, but it probably was KCP. He has not been great in the bubble. Neither has Danny Green. They have to get them going if they're going to win anything. So there's a fine line between letting them find their way and trying something new. And I think Frank just wasn't ready to push that button yet.
Okay. And listen, and all that is understandable, but I think that I kind of lean, if I had to pick one side, I'm a little more on LZ's side on this, Momo, in this regard, okay? We just talked about in that, a couple of segments ago about how LeBron needs someone else to handle the ball sometimes, right? Like, mm-hmm. having that entire burden on himself for the entire time that he's in the game is just not ideal. It doesn't maximize him either. And without Rondo's being available, at least to this point, we don't know. He's questionable for game two. But without Rondo available, the one guy on the roster who can handle a little bit, who can create his own shot, who can defend a little bit if he's in decent shape, is Deion Waiters. And mm-hmm. he is ignitable, to use that Spoelstra term. He's a guy that can get hot. He kind of reminds me of like a guard version of Antoine Walker, except a little less talented and a little more combustible. But he's got some of that in him. And I think when KCP is going 0-9, at that point, I do think you make a move. And look, you mentioned Spo. Spo would make that move. I mean,
yeah,
listen,
he would.
Spo yanked Kendrick Nunn out of the starting lineup, who was he's going to finish third in Rookie of the Year, and said, you know what? He's not playing great in the bubble. He has been not necessarily been good against above 500 teams. We're only going to see above 500 teams. I'm going with Goran Dragic because he's proven. And Goran Dragic will no longer be my sixth man. He's going to start. And I think to LZ's point, the really great coaches, championship medal coaches, are not afraid to make that move and take the criticism that may come with it.
Mm.
No, they're not. Taco Fall is on the court, by the way. Which
I know, I'm watching it. It's great.
Can I just say something?
Always makes me happy.
Can I just say something about the Sixers?
Yeah.
I just get mad watching them. Don't you
yeah,
just get
I'm done.
Mad?
I'm over them. I'm over them. Yeah.
Like, it's just, they're not losing because they can't score, by the way. They're losing because they can't defend at all.
Right.
Boston has 125 points and we're not even close to the end of the game. I mean, they are so frustrating. And, like, Joel Embiid is so good. He's standing there in the paint.
He is good.
Please, give me the ball. Give me the ball. And then Daniel Theis is on him, and he shuts him down, and then they double him every time, and nobody can do anything else. It's just I get angry watching the Sixers.
The only reason why I say Izzy is because
– I know.
There are too many times in which Joel Embiid himself admits he has to play harder. And I'm like, you know what? This is too much now. You've been in this game too long. You don't need Charles Barkley and Shaq to call you out on TNT in order to be told you need to play harder. I really thought that when he left with that series against the Toronto Raptors,
yeah,
when he was crying, I thought he was going to come back and own the league, that he was going to destroy us all and we would just be helpless. Instead, he has to be reminded to play hard. And I'm just like, what is happening here?
Well, he, so you know, his thing is he doesn't not play hard just because, like, oh, I'm not feeling it today. But he's like every other big man you've ever seen, where if you don't get them the ball when they're waiting for it and they're working hard to get position, if, you know, his problem is to get way too technical. He's catching the ball way too high, right? He's at the high post and he needs to be in the low post, but there's a reason he's in the high post is because Boston is pushing him out towards the high post. And when he catches it too high, he can't do anything. So he needs to be like Shaquille O'Neal, park himself right in that low post and demand the ball and shove everybody else out of the way because he's bigger and stronger and he can do that. And when he doesn't get the ball, he gets disappointed and discouraged after a while because in his mind, he's working hard. He's, you know, on and on. And in their mind, they're like, well, I'm not going to throw it to you in the high post because you're not going to do anything with it there.
Yeah. Well, Momo, you know what else they need? And I like Brett, but they need a better coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, Brett has lost that locker room a long time ago. And, you know, it just is one of those situations where guys aren't even paying attention to him anymore. And, you know, Brett and Elton Brand have their issues. The roster construction is not good. Elton didn't necessarily do a very good job of retooling it even at the deadline. I know he tried with Glenn Robinson III and Alec Burks and those guys. But it's just, honestly, they had a better roster a couple of years ago when they had JJ and Ersan Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli around a younger Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
They've literally, they've never recovered from that.
Correct.
From those decisions.
Correct.
The decision to get Tobias, the decision to go for Jimmy. They didn't, neither of those have worked out.
Well, they should have kept Jimmy is what they should have
They should have kept Jimmy.
Right.
And then they made the decision to, I don't even think they really offered him. And he goes to Miami, and instead they could have had anybody to fill that void, and they go with Al Horford, who I think I looked at the box score a minute ago, has 4 points today.
Super redundant. You can't play him with Joel Embiid. Get out of here. Like, it's just like Elton Brand's roster construction isn't good. Brett lost the locker room. That whole thing needs to be cleaned out, and you need to break. You know who I would hire there? Real quick, because I know we got a break in a second. Mm. And I want to take a call, and then
tell me something good. Give me something good right here.
Jason Kidd.
No, they need someone who is going to go in there who has experience with big men, right? Who is going to be no nonsense, and who, by the way, just recently had a pretty good run with a bunch of young guys, okay? In the Olympic experience, or not the Olympic experience, but in the international experience. The guy they need to hire is Jeff Van Gundy. If Jeff Van Gundy takes that job, that team all of a sudden will play defense like they're supposed to. You know, Greg Popovich out there telling people during the international qualifying games, you know, raving about Jeff and how he's the smartest coach in the group. And you know, the guys who played in the Olympics, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, those guys raving about their interactions with Jeff Van Gundy. Like, Jeff Van Gundy, we forget that he was a good coach.
I know. I forgot about that, too. It's like, I forget. He's been on air for so long that you, like, almost forget. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's still pretty young. He could do it.
I think Momo and LZ, you guys both will remember this. You know, Hubie Brown was out of the game for a long time, and then he went to Memphis, and that's all of a sudden they were a 50-win playoff team. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, discipline goes a long way.
Yeah.
And if you understand how to make sure your star player likes you and stays in your corner – and you have his back, you know, you can have some success. I don't know if that's the issue in Philly. I hear where you're coming from, George, in terms of losing the locker room. But I also just feel that if your best player has to be told by the television people to play harder, it's just going to be just difficult. Like, your best player sets the tone. And you can't have that. You can't constantly have that person needing to be prodded to be a beast. That person needs to already be a beast, and that the coach can come in and help direct that energy while also supplanting all the other elements of a good basketball team around that person. You can't start off with an unbelievable talent, and then every other night you have to remind him to go out and ball out.
877-710-ESPN. Let me grab a quick call because, again, we want to try to get people's reactions on the playoffs and particularly the Lakers yesterday falling to the Blazers. Let me go to Patrick in the LBC. Patrick.
Hey, how's it going, Sedano, LZ, Momo?
Hey, hey, buddy.
Hey, first thing, though, I got to say, you guys know that wine is really low in vitamins. That's why you got to drink a lot of it, right?
Ah.
I like you already.
It's got that resveratrol. That's supposed to be good for your skin.
Yeah, man.
I'm fully on board. You know, you're cooking. You put down a couple glasses. By the end of the night, hey, it's gone. Whatever.
Exactly.
But on a serious note, for the Lakers, I'm on the fence. I'm somewhat concerned because we talked about Anthony Davis and the lack of experience in the playoffs. And, you know, he had that good series a couple years back with Rondo. But the dude does not look like he wants it. And then even if you say he wants to shoot or hang out in the perimeter, he wasn't really stepping up confidently to shoot threes either. He was kind of in no man's land. So that was concerning for sure. And then, you know, LeBron should get no blame at all as far as I'm concerned. But, Donna, you know this too, going back to the Miami days, the Cleveland days, what's with the free throws? That's all I got.
He's not a good free throw shooter.
Yeah, he's like a 70% free throw shooter. That's just what it is.
Yeah, and he's had a history of missing big ones.
Yeah.
Like not just being a bad free throw shooter, but missing big free throws in the clutch.
He's got 50-11 different kinds of, you know, approaches to shooting the free throws, and he has yet to figure out exactly what's going to be the approach season in and season out.
Actually, it's funny. He should go. It's like I should like tweet it to him, see if he'll see it. Tom Haberstroh, I'm talking about like 8 years ago when he was working at ESPN, wrote a story in LeBron's best free throw shooting season about this like machine that the Heat had, and it would tell you the angle you're shooting at. And that was and so they wanted you to hit a specific angle that was measured to your body type, and that was the best free throw shooting year for LeBron and for Wade, for that matter.
Well, you know what's interesting about LeBron though, with those kind of, like him not being a great clutch free throw shooter, with some of the, you know, he's gone through so many different forms, right? He switches it up all the time. I think it's the thing about LeBron that we love, but we also like, what also hurts his legacy is that he's human. Like guys like Kobe, they don't really always show you their humanity in those moments. Like they are cold blooded. I mean, that's like Kobe's whole deal was, I'm cold blooded. I'm the Mamba. I don't feel those. I don't have fear and emotions. Like LeBron, you see those moments when he feels the pressure, or you see those moments when he feels self doubt, and he's human. And I love that about him as a superstar, because most guys in that realm don't always show that to you, but it's also something he always has to conquer it.
Well, they're the more fascinating athletes, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. The people who are fighting multiple opponents themselves.
More interesting, for sure.
I love seeing Serena Williams when Serena Williams is down a set.
Yeah.
When she's down a set, I'm here for it.
Oh, my gosh. I just like watching her. I don't even want to watch the tennis. I like watching her talk to herself.
Yeah.
Come on, Serena.
Right.
Come
on. We're way over the break. We're going to take more calls at 877-710-ESPN. But I want to let you know, coming up next, the Vultures are circling on the Lakers. And we're going to call them out in 90 seconds.